We no longer live in a world where signs represent reality. We inhabit a hyper-real universe where simulations have completely replaced the real. Imagine Borges' famous fable about cartographers creating a map so detailed it perfectly covers its territory. In our world, the territory no longer exists, only the map remains. Reality hasn't just been concealed, it has been entirely supplanted by models that reference nothing beyond themselves. This isn't simply about deception. When someone pretends to be ill, they feign symptoms. But when someone simulates illness, they produce actual symptoms. This collapse between true and false creates a crisis for institutions built on this distinction. Medicine can't determine if a patient is really sick when symptoms are genuinely produced through simulation. Images have evolved through four historical phases. First, reflecting reality, then masking reality, next, masking reality's absence, and finally, becoming pure simulation with no relation to reality. We now exist in this fourth phase, where images precede reality rather than represent it. Consider how we experience contemporary events. When a disaster occurs, our first encounter is typically through media images that shape our understanding before we can form our own perceptions. These images don't simply report reality, they construct it. Why does this matter? Because when reality becomes indistinguishable from its simulation, truth, authenticity, and meaning undergo radical transformation. Disneyland exists not merely as entertainment, but to conceal a disturbing truth. All of America has become a Disneyland. The theme park functions as a deterrence machine that presents itself as imaginary to make us believe everything outside is real, when in fact, America has already entered the hyper-real order. The park's explicit artificiality reassures us that our remaining experiences are authentic, when this distinction has actually collapsed. Society creates designated spaces for specific experiences, museums for culture, nature preserves for wilderness, red light districts for vice, maintaining the illusion that the rest of society remains authentic. By acknowledging certain spaces as constructed, we blind ourselves to the constructed nature of everything else. Shopping malls, themed restaurants, and planned communities all mirror Disneyland's approach. The more we accept these designated spaces of fantasy, the harder it becomes to recognize that our entire social reality has become a simulation. In the hyper-real world, political reality operates through simulated scandals and manufactured crises that maintain the illusion of moral order. These events function not as genuine political moments, but as simulations preserving the fiction that traditional politics still exists. Political scandals generate media frenzy, yet rarely produce fundamental change. Political positions have become fundamentally indeterminate. A terrorist attack might simultaneously represent leftist extremism, right-wing provocation, foreign interference, or domestic manipulation. All interpretations become equally valid as causality becomes impossible to determine. Political discourse now conveys the impossibility of determined positions rather than coherent ideologies. This explains politicians' contradictory statements about power. When declaring, "There's no need to fear us taking power," they communicate multiple messages. They'll change nothing fundamental, genuine power no longer exists, and, paradoxically, that they themselves fear wielding power. The system's remaining strategy is injecting reality everywhere through crisis discourse. Power multiplies signs of reality attempting to combat simulation, but it's too late. We now overproduce reality to restore what escapes us, creating hyper-realism, a hallucinatory resemblance of the real to itself. We live in a world drowning in information, yet starved of meaning. This paradox defines our media environment, where more communication produces less understanding. Information doesn't create meaning, it actively destroys it. The media now function as simulators rather than transmitters. Television doesn't connect us to events, but stages a relationship to them, blackmailing us with participation. You are concerned. You are the event. McLuhan's The Medium is the Message shows how content is absorbed by form. The medium implodes into the real, creating a hyper-real nebula where television watches us rather than the reverse. The masses respond through fascination, a counter-strategy reflecting the system's mechanisms back upon itself. By absorbing everything without processing it and demanding spectacle without meaning, they mirror the media's own logic. We experience major news events through endless commentary and imagery, yet feel less informed. The media doesn't clarify events, but envelops them in layers of simulation until the original occurrence vanishes beneath its representation. Advertising's form, instantaneous, depthless, immediately forgotten, has absorbed all modes of expression. This triumph of superficiality now dominates cultural forms, blurring distinctions as activities adopt advertising's seductive mode. Modern institutions have surrendered to this logic. Museums design for Instagram moments rather than contemplation. Universities market lifestyle brands instead of educational substance. Political movements package themselves as commercial style identities. This represents a transformation of meaning, not mere commercialization. Advertising sells a relationship to reality itself, offering simulated alternatives for identity, community, and purpose as traditional sources of meaning weaken. The system's genius lies in its self-awareness. Modern advertising acknowledges its artificiality through irony and self-reference, apparent self-criticism that actually strengthens its hold by disarming deeper questions. What happens to authentic connection when intimate experiences follow advertising's logic? How do we find genuine meaning when culture has been flattened into superficial form? Our relationship with technology has fundamentally transformed. Once merely extending the body to master nature, technology now deconstructs the body itself through symbolic surgery. In J.G. Ballard's Crash, which Baudrillard analyzes, collisions between technology and flesh create new forms of sexuality and meaning. Car crashes become transformative. A victim's mutilation becomes a coronation through technology. This vision reflects our contemporary relationship with technology. Smartphones function as prosthetic extensions of our cognitive selves, while cosmetic surgery transforms bodies according to digital ideals. The boundaries between human and technological blur as devices integrate into our identities. Cloning represents the ultimate expression, attempting to materialize the double, transforming death's exchange with the other into the eternity of the same. It abolishes both mother and father, eliminating genetic differences. The subject disappears as duplication ends division, creating identical iteration rather than reflection. What does it mean to be human when the boundaries between flesh and technology dissolve? Are we enhancing our humanity or sacrificing something essential? Today's nihilism is one of transparency, more radical than historical forms, as it belongs to the system itself. We've entered a world of simulation where nihilism manifests as neutrality rather than destruction. We're fascinated by all forms of disappearance, including our own. Anamnesis freezes meaning while the desert grows. Against the hegemonic system, only terrorism offers reversion, challenging the system through its own death. Yet the system is itself nihilistic, dissolving everything into indifference. Death has no stage, events lack consequences, and meaning is mortal, but appearances remain immortal, invulnerable to nihilism. This is where seduction begins. We must fight in this tactical universe of simulacrum with defiance and fascination, becoming nomads in this desert of simulacra. In a world where reality has been replaced by simulation, perhaps only appearances, the domain of seduction, remain our path through the desert of meaning.